How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another week. You're here with me, Nick. As always, I'm joined by my good buddy, Ronald. Ronald, how's it going over there?
So it's going swimmingly because I just identified you as the biggest liar I know.
Oh, is that so, hey? Why? What have I done this time?
Yeah, you just lied about your supergroup position in the preparation for this call. And actually, I lied as well without realizing that I was actually had done better than what I'd lied about.
That's true. You what? You said you were 453rd. Then you go and check the log now and you're sitting in seventh place.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's what you get for being a scallum, Ronnie. Tell me, you're feeling better. Last week, you were a bit down with some Spanish flu.
Yeah, I went and I paid 30 euros now for some over-the-counter meds. I think I've close on spent 100 euros, which is a lot of money, in my opinion. No one should be spending 100 euros on medication for a cough. But yeah, here we are.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, especially if you convert it back into our lovely rand, hey, Ronnie?
But at least I'm feeling a lot better.
So
finally again.
We have a bit of a problem, Ronald.
I don't have problems. You've got a lot of problems.
No, so as you know, we spoke about it on WhatsApp a bit earlier this morning. I'm selling my car. For those of you that don't know me, that listen to the show, I've always been someone that never lets anybody eat in my car. I've been quite pedantic about it. Dear old Ronnie, being the chaotic child that he is, has always wanted to eat in my vehicle. Now, Ronnie, I have this car left for 24 hours. I don't know if you're going to get back from Spain in time to eat a pie in my car finally.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be able to eat a garage pie in the back of your car. But I just want to say something. There was a trip to Midmar one year where I did go and sit in the back and eat in the back of that car. You got pretty upset with me. Look, it's a matter of principle. Like, you don't eat someone's car when you say so. It's a matter of principle. Yes, you got so angry with me.
What happened that night, guys, is that we were at Bierfussel in Nottingham Road having lekker schnitzels. And Ronnie buggers off. We all think he's gone to the bathroom. And there he comes, selfie, probably the only selfie he's ever taken in his life. There's Ronnie in the back of my car eating a schnitzel at the Bierfassel while we're all sitting at the table.
It had to be done. So technically, I've eaten the back of your car. I just never got around to eating a chicken pie in the back of your car, which would have been excellent.
Yeah, I know that was something you were looking forward to, Ronnie. But otherwise, how was the weekend? Did you have a good time? You're settling in wild outside.
No. I'm constantly torn between, you know, which VPN server am I supposed to be connected to watch this, that, and the other. You know, how do I watch sport and how do I stream it and how do I not sail the high seas as a pirate and to watch my sport? And it's a daily struggle, yeah.
Yeah, the life's tough there without the braai here, Ronald. So we had a lot of URC rugby on this weekend. I know, like you say, you had a bit of a tough time watching it, trying the different VPNs. I don't know, guys, if any of our listeners there in Spain know how Ronnie can watch the rugby, drop us a message and let us know. Maybe you can help him out. Or even a...
Yeah, there's a couple of documentaries coming up that we need to watch. So I've always found that if you watch DSTV now, you know, ethically through certain means, it doesn't come off that well, unfortunately. But if anyone has any suggestions as to how we can watch a certain documentaries going forward, please.
They really missed something by not calling it DSTV now. Hey, that would have made it truly South African.
DSTV just now.
Yeah. So, Ronnie, we've already pointed out you are seventh in the URC, which is quite impressive. Well done. I can't give you much shit this week, despite how badly I want to. I'm all the way in 164th. I'm actually pretty sure you've just edited this sheet. I think I'm 146th. So, Ronnie putting his stunts here again. Yeah, I'm 146. Thanks, Ronald.
No, you're not. I did 64th.
But there's a mate of ours, an Australian guy, actually, Simon, who is in first place in the URC log. So, Simon, you bugger, we're still waiting for you to get your ass over to South Africa. But well done, man. You're dominating it in the URC, doing well in the Super Brew.
Especially since these Australians don't claim to care too much about rugby and it's all about the AFL. And then he goes on and dominates and dominates across the board in so many competitions on Super Brew.
It's because in his heart, he's a Sharks fan, Ronnie. He's a Sharks fan.
It's because those Australians like to gamble. So they know what they're doing.
So, Ronnie, first game of the weekend, we had Munster hosting Zebre. I think it was pretty obvious Munster were going to take this one, a good 45-20 point win. And the first full fixture for Arkia Sneijman. So great to see the Viking back out on the pitch. Munster's a great rehab center for the Springboks, eh?
Those Munster fans must be so upset with Arrigus Sneijman. I mean, they paid his salary for a long time now, not got much out of it.
Yeah, like 160 minutes of rugby or something like that. But we're grateful for it this side, that's for sure. So Munster earning a strong victory there. Ronnie, then we go over to Edinburgh. They got a 19-15 win over the Ospreys. Very, very tight game. You know, Hamish Watson, he went over early for Edinburgh, not involved with Scotland at the moment. And that really set the tone for the game, trading points, trading blows. But ultimately, Edinburgh with the South African coach coming up top.
Yeah, that's lekker.
Then over to your former team, my current team, that's causing me lots of heartbreak. We had
it's hurtful, right? Being a Sharks fan, it looked so bad,
worse than any breakup I've ever had. So, Ronnie, Lions hosting the Sharks at Ellis Park. I wanted to call this a shit show. I'm going to call it a shit show. That's what it was. It was absolutely terrible. Sharks scored nothing in the second half, not 1 point.
Yeah, but they were still in it up until, you know, 65th minute or whatever it was. You know, they were 7 points or 8 points or 10 points in it or whatever. I think it was 19-10. And then they just seemed to all go to bed and, you know, soil the bed.
Yeah, they really, really took their foot off the pedal, and the Lions made them pay for it. And surprisingly, or maybe unsurprisingly, Sanele Nohamba orchestrating another man of the match performance against his former side, Marius Lowe, also having a good game. So, you know, these players going across the park, going up to Ellis Park and coming back to haunt the Sharks.
Yeah, and I have to eat my words with Sanele Nohamba. I thought, you know, he wasn't able to crack it at the Sharks, and, you know, good riddance. But in all honesty, his Springbok material right now, he's definitely, if you don't choose him for the Springboks, there's something wrong with you, because he's playing exceptionally well at 9 or 10.
Yeah, he's playing out of his socks at the moment. So it was 19 points to 10 at halftime, Ronnie. And then we had this big weather delay, a big electrical storm moving in there over Ellis Park. I think the 10 fans that were in attendance at the stadium got a little bit wet. I know Belinda sent us some photos. But yeah, that caused about a 40-minute delay in the game and had a knock-on effect later here in Pretoria. But Ronnie, the Sharks have now won one game from 11. Just one. That is...
Well done.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, hey?
Yeah, we say that though, but they have done exceptionally well in the Challenge Cup. So, you know, could we say that it's a case of them prioritizing the Challenge Cup over other games? I don't think that's the case, actually. We can't say that because, you know, the Challenge Cup hasn't been for a couple of weeks now. And, you know, it's not like they're splitting squads to play the two tournaments at the same time. So I don't know what's happening there.
And don't forget they lost to the Cheetahs in the Challenge Cup. A lot of calls this weekend coming for the Cheetahs to be elevated to the URC at the Sharks' expense, which, as a Sharks fan, has merit. Honestly, the way they're playing is unbelievable. I cannot fathom how a team with so many Springboks, and I did write an article about it on Sunday, is doing so, so poorly. Take this stat, for example, now, Ronnie. Lions had 12 line breaks to 3 of the Sharks. That's what were the Sharks doing?
A completely impotent attack. Like, it doesn't work.
And blunt.
Who do we blame it on? Who do we blame it on? Do we blame it on the players? The players are very good. Do we blame it on the coach? I don't know, because, you know, we know that Plumtree's a quality coach. He's been with the Sharks before. He's done really well. You know, Sean Everett, that was there previously, we blamed a lot on him. But when he left, the problems didn't go away. So this, if it's something in the change room, I don't even know what to point the finger at anymore. It must be the water.
That's actually the biggest worry, is that you can't actually pinpoint what's going wrong. They've got the players, they've got the coaches, they've got the checkbook even. And yet here we are, sitting in a situation where they are bottom of the log, and well at the bottom of the log. Ronnie, is this now, we saw Bongi Mbonambi getting into a bit of a row with Amy Baratheron this weekend, and it's something that I've cautioned about Bongi before, and Mapimpi does it as well, gets quite chirpy with match officials. But is this just an example of team frustration boiling out, or is this a bit of an arrogance problem within the squad?
You know, I think it's a bit of both. So there's definitely an element of frustration, desperation from the guys. You know, they want the calls to go their way. But, you know, the sooner that people start to realize that, you know, you don't overturn decisions, players don't, except one time. Aaron Smith did have Angus Gardner say, oh, you're right. And he made an appropriate call. But once the call is actually made, the whistle's gone. It's, you know, it's fine when we listen to the ref. But, you know, the guys are still complaining these days. But, you know, I think on the other side, it is a bit of a thing that Bongi has had over the number of years. And look, he's one of my favorite players. I love the guy, but there's definitely, they sometimes don't know when to just keep quiet. And I think Amy Barrett on, well done for calling Bonge out.
Absolutely, absolutely well done for calling him out. Ronnie, then I obviously mentioned the line breaks a little bit earlier. That was 12-3. But what do you make of the fact that the Lions also scored 6-1? That doesn't speak much of the Sharks' defense either.
Yeah, but let's just understand that a good chunk of those tries came in the last 10, 15 minutes. You know, like it, the Sharks were in it for a long time and they just went to sleep. And then what happened is the Lions played to 83 minutes, you know. They play 80 plus minutes and they were able to capitalize and the score just looks shocking as a Sharks fan. And that's because the Sharks just went to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, even seeing the Sharks scrum go backwards was a sight to behold because that's something that hasn't happened in many, many years. But shining light for the Sharks coming out of this, Edwin Keita, he was really good on the wing, probably the only player that impressed me for the Sharks this weekend. But full credit to the Lions. They're playing some nice rugby. They've got some youngsters there that are hot steppers, line breakers, and really they're impressing at the moment.
Yeah, my final comment on the Sharks is I think a lot of those Sharks players are lucky they became Springboks before they played for the Sharks team, because I wouldn't select any of them for the Springboks if I didn't know that they were capable Springboks.
Yeah, you make a valid point there, Ronnie. Then we go over to Italy, where Benetton have taken a bit of a slide down the log. They went down 9-19 against Glasgow Warriors. Benetton probably not boasting as much depth with a lot of their players away with the Italy squad at the moment. But captain Stafford McDowell saved the day for Glasgow with a late try, putting them ahead. Otherwise, it was a pretty tight fixture until the last few minutes.
Yeah, and it's these two teams on the log. If you go and check out their positions on the log, very interesting. Both teams performing really well, but they are good on Glasgow for pulling it off away from home. Yeah, then on to, look, I want to say my adoptive team, but it is difficult completely writing the Sharks off here. But the Bulls at home, very successful against the Stormers.
You're looking smug like a normal Bulls fan right now, Ronnie. So
yeah, well, you know what? It's actually a little bit ridiculous that I enjoyed the sell. I watched a Sharks game. I was only like 5% sad because, you know, it was something that I expected. And then watching the Bulls just made me so happy. You know? And maybe I should just continue supporting the Bulls because, honestly, they played really well, I thought.
Did they make you happy because they're the Bulls and they won, or because they beat the Stormers?
Both. It's just it's nice finally supporting a team that wins. You know, it's just that's what you want. And it's also nice seeing the Stormers lose. And it's also nice seeing their sheer dominance over South African teams coming to an end. You know, we won a little bit of competition, so it's nice to see the Bulls get one over the Stormers. So that was really nice to see. And surprisingly, you know, Loftus was packed. Loftus was packed to the roof. And there was a rainstorm.
1,000 people sold out at Loftus, eh?
Yeah, so I always wonder about those numbers because you look in the corners of the stands and there's a couple of seats here and there that are open. But yeah, look, they can just count the number of tickets that were sold and there's a lot of people there. Also, a lot of weather. Like you say, there was a bit of a rain delay that came over from Joburg. It crossed the Boerewors curtain, jumped over the XK and then affected the game. But yeah, well done to the Bulls. And honestly, I saw a post the other day that said, are the Bulls the South African version of Leinster? Because sure, we need a good Bulls side. When we've had a good Bulls team, we've had a very good, strong Springbok side. So let's hope that sort of continues. But yeah, we had good performances from a number of players. Marco van Staden, Eskom, put the lights out once or twice, or 16 times, in fact, with 16 dominant tackles.
How was that hit on Ben Loader? Hey, that was a beauty.
Unbelievable. And also, the outside back. So, Kirtley Aronsa and Moody, fantastic to see that, and very exciting players.
I would hate to be the opposing fullback having to defend on those two. Hey, can you imagine it? You've got these two pacey oaks chasing the kick and chase. But worse than that, they bloody sidestepped the hell out of you at the back there. I would have definitely faked an injury if one of them were running at me.
Yeah, and they seem to be incredibly humble players too. They don't seem to be too wild about it. They just go about their business. It's very calm, especially you can see Moody's face. He's just so calm, so relaxed, does his job, and does it exceptionally well.
Yeah, he does. And I mean, this is ending a 7-game losing streak by the Bulls to the Stormers. But more than that, touched on it. December 2021 is the last time a South African beat the Stormers. A South African side beat the Stormers. That was the Lions. So great that the Bulls are ending both of those.
I saw you put that in the agenda, 7-game losing streak. And I was a little bit surprised by that. And I think the reality is I've just been used to a much longer losing streak with the Sharks. At 7 doesn't look so bad.
Yes, Ron, he's still feeling it there. And then, I don't know, did you see Frans Malherbe didn't play this weekend? He said he wasn't feeling fit enough to contribute to such a high-tempo game, so he was pulled out of the fixture. And Dabo saying, you know, he is a South African treasure, so we've got to look after him.
Well, if the guy says he doesn't feel well, he doesn't feel well, he's earned the right to say that.
Absolutely, yeah. So, Bulls also bonus point win, Ronnie, puts them in second on the log.
Second on the log. Well, tied with Glasgow, but, you know, with all the points difference and that sort of stuff, splits in.
There we go. Ronnie, Connacht, I hope that's the right way. I'm thinking of Ian shouting at me now. 26, 10 points to Scarlets. That win sees Connacht move into the top 8 and in position for a playoff spot. So, very important win for the Irish side there.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they've been a pretty strong team now for a number of years. And in honesty, you know, that's where the Sharks should be. They should be looking at Connacht and seeing, yeah, what are they doing that we can't do? What do we need to do to get into the top 8?
Yeah, well, the Sharks can look at 15 other teams at the moment for what they can do better. Ronnie, then Ulster, also another Irish side, racking up a big win, 49 points to 26 over the Dragons. I didn't catch that game. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
And to the Ulster.
But, yeah, well done to the Ulster men.
Then over to Wales, where Cardiff hosted Leinster. Leinster with a vastly inexperienced squad getting a 33-20 point win on the road. Leinster scored 2 tries in the first 10 minutes, and then they just gave away 15 points. Ronnie didn't score anything for a while. And this is something we have to recognize as front rowers or lovers of the front row. Michael Milner comes on as a substitute front rower, Ronnie. Scores 2 tries in his 11 minutes on the field, sorts Leinster out, puts them in the lead and wins the game for them.
Have you ever scored 2 tries in a game?
Yes, when we beat up 19-3.
Oh, that's such a lie. That's such a lie. Okay. All right. I've scored 2, just by the way.
You scored 2 when in your dream.
Also off the bench. I also came off the bench, scored 2. Yeah.
There we go. There we go, Ronnie. What about the log? What's happening on there? How great.
Yeah, what about the log? Should we talk about how far down the Sharks are? I don't know if we've said this on this podcast yet today.
Yeah, so great chat. Let's move on.
All right. So, look, there's 16 teams in the URC, and Hollywood Bets Sharks are 16th, which is just honestly, it's shocking. I'm not going to go through the whole 16, but let's talk about the top 8. Well, let's talk about 9, because the DHL Stormers at the moment are in 9th on 30 points. So they are 2 points behind 8th place, which is Benetton on 32 points. So the Stormers have something to play for. And in fact, the Lions on 29 points, they've also got something to play for. And it seems like everybody's got something to play for except the Hollywood Bet Sharks. But yeah, so the eight teams in Benetton. In 7th, we've got Connacht. In 6th place, we've got Munster. 5th, we've got Ulster. 4th, we've got Edinburgh. 3rd, we've got Glasgow. So this is important, right? Because those are the 2 Scottish teams in 3rd and 4th. So well done, Scotland, for turning things around a little bit and you know, dominating the top half of the top half. And then in 2nd place, Vodacom Bulls on 40 points and Leinster, once again, you know, 9 wins from 11 matches on 44 points, deep to beat Leinster.
Until the quarterfinals. Yeah, so URC is going to be taking a break again this weekend. The Six Nations is back on, 2 rounds of that competition left. Just before we delve properly into the Six Nations, Ronnie, we booked tickets now for Ireland versus the Springboks at Loftus. Those tickets went incredibly fast, but quite excited. I spoke to Ralph, your father, this morning, organizing a braai already and where we're going to be sitting. So yeah, going to be lucky to be at that stadium. I hope you guys all manage to get tickets. Please don't forget that next week, tickets for Mbombela come open, as well as for Durban against the Irish and Los Pumas. So you guys can get your tickets there. Loftus sold out, Ronald.
In 30 minutes. I've seen some rumors that say 70 minutes, 30 minutes, but I think that's just the ticket, bro. But you were right. You were helping me trying to get tickets. And while I was trying to find the perfect seats for my parents, it just seemed like the blocks were just, you know, becoming unavailable, you know, as we're looking at the screen. So we were very lucky to get very quickly. I know some people tried and they were in the queue and they never got to the front. So shame.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, it's going to be a lacquer series to have the Irish here. So over to the Six Nations, Ronnie, guys, our Super Brew pool is still open. You can still enter. The pool code is Gins Oath, GINSOATH. It's plastered all over our socials as well, guys. Or you can just search Rugby Punted on Super Brew. And you can come and join us there. Ronnie, let's take a look at the weekend's fixtures then. We've got first up this weekend, Italy hosting Scotland. That kickoff is at 4:15 in the afternoon, South African time. Darcy Graham ruled out of the whole season. We haven't visited this in quite a while, Ronnie. Is he now injury prone, or where on the scale does he
feel? Forgot about that. Well, how much has he been injured in the last, say, 90 days?
Lots. In the last two years, he spent at least a year and a half injured.
Well, yeah, you tell me. How injury prone is this guy? Is he iffy, or is he a bad Lambie?
Yeah, he's glass at the moment, unfortunately. And he's a player that I really enjoy watching play. He's been excellent for Scotland, so I really hope he's back on the mend soon. Italy, though, will be wanting to get over that last-minute loss to the French, or draw, in fact, to the French. Paolo Gabisi missing that kick. It was so close for Italy to snatch a famous win there.
Controversial,
put
too.
That behind them to try and take on Scotland, who are playing fantastic rugby at the moment. Scotland are second on the log. Duan Fanamava, I mean, he's going to take some stopping. So Andre Capuazzo is going to have a handful this weekend, reading him and making those tackles on a guy that's almost double his size.
Yeah, absolutely. But another big game for the weekend. So England versus Ireland. Interestingly enough, last year, Ireland got their Grand Slam against England. So hopefully England can turn things around a little bit here. This, you know, history is definitely in England's favor, playing at home. And they've won 80 of the 141 test matches that they've played. So, yeah, I don't really know if those stats mean anything, because Ireland's just really on fire. And I will be supporting England this weekend, because I just don't want Ireland to get that incredible record of maximum points in all games. So, come on, England, please. Help us out here.
And I mean, a little added for England to play for is the fact that England and Ireland are tied on the most wins in a row in the Six Nations, being 11. So if Ireland were to win this game, they'll take that record from England.
Is that the most number of tournaments won?
No, games in a row through different Six Nations. So they've won 11 games in a row.
All right, that makes sense, yeah. So Bongi's obviously also made some remarks. It's something that came out. I don't really want to talk about this, because I think it was taken out of context. I think, you know, Bongi was just saying that plastic energy comes from screaming and shouting, and all players do it. But it seems like he's touched a nerve a bit with the number of player fans around the world.
But this is actually something we've spoken about on this podcast once or twice. Clive Woodward's also mentioned it, that these English players go ballistic when they get a turnover, or even when the other team just knocks the ball on. And I agree. It's you're not winning the game there. You're winning a tiny little battle within the game, you know?
Yeah, but look, I think, again, taken out of context a little bit, you know, it's just a bunch of front rows talking about, you know, a team celebrating and then having to scrum against them. So I wouldn't look too much into that. England, unfortunately, slipping a bit in the world rankings, but so they've got everything to play for now. Earn back a bit of honour, earn back a bit of faith in their fans, faith from their fans, and yeah. So come on, England, let's do something. I think, yeah, see, you've entered something on the agenda, that it's a new site. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So actually, this is something we can address in total together, Ronnie. Steve Borthwick now, okay, he was brought in just before the last World Cup. No one really expected them to do much in the World Cup, and they actually progressed pretty far. Now, Steve Borthwick is saying this is a new side. They need time to gel. You know, these are new players coming in. But you look at the last team that he fielded. 9 of those 23 players are over the age of 29. That's not a new team.
You say 29 is old.
I'm not saying it's old, but I'm saying it's an experienced team. That's your Maro Itoje, George Ford, guys that have been in that system for a long time. Elliot Daly, Dan Cole. Think of all of those guys, how long they've actually been in the setup. It's not a new side like you would look at Wales and say Wales is a new side. They're the youngest team ever in the Six Nations. You know, Borthwick has not beaten a side ranked above him since he took over coaching England. What do you make of something like that, Ronald?
Yeah, absolutely right. I was just making a bit of a throwaway comment, considering you're over the age of 29 and I'm not. But regardless, you're absolutely right. The England side is experienced. The England side have not found their feet. And I don't know if they ever will. I assume that a couple of good games have to go their way at some point, and then everybody's going to praise Borthwick again. you know, it's if you're an England fan, it must be terrible at the moment. Yes, you did exceptionally well in the World Cup. You can't seem to string together with a very experienced side, like you say. You can't string together wins in the Six Nations and other matches outside of a World Cup.
Yeah, and I mean, another worrying stat for the English is they haven't scored more than two tries against any team since they played Chile at the World Cup. So their attack is also really blunted now, which is disappointing because they have quite a few pacey and electric wingers in their team.
That's absolutely right. So they've got an impotent attack as well, much like the Sharks, which is disappointing to watch.
Yeah, impotent is such a good word for it, hey, Ronnie. Now, England have this game against Ireland and then they have to face France. After that, they go for two tests against the All Blacks in New Zealand and then they're facing us. So Steve Borthwick's got a lot ahead of him before he's going to be confident that his team's racking up a win. Those are some tough fixtures lying ahead. Ronnie, over then to Wales hosting France. This game's on Sunday at 5 p.m. Emmanuel Mawafu, a Kiwi lock, set to earn his first cap this weekend for France, joining the likes of Pasola Tuilagi. So he's someone that's impressed me in the top 14. Quite excited to see how this giant steps up for the French team.
Yeah, another export out of New Zealand, right? And it's a real shame that these guys go and play their trades and All Blacks don't really allow them to play for their side. So they go off and they become legends for other international sides.
True. Jonathan Danti, banned for 6 weeks after many of the French on our page were saying it was not a high tackle. I'm just going to leave that comment open-ended. Ronnie, Galtier and Gatland, are they two coaches under pressure? Galtier's had the backing of the French Rugby Union. Gats is on a rebuild. I don't think they're under that much pressure at the moment.
Yeah, look, I think they are both under pressure, but it's incorrect to have put them under pressure. I think Gatland's, you know, obviously in a bit of a rebuilding phase, and we spoke about how young his team is, and he's trying to, you know, he's got the excuse of having inexperience. We'll give him one season, maybe two, but thereafter, he really needs to step things up. Fabien Galtier shouldn't be under any pressure whatsoever. The public has definitely put him under that. You know, they demand excellence. And, you know, the couple of matches have not gone their way, but it's been, three losses. Sure, three very recent losses. Yes, the Italy game was a little bit shocking if you were a French fan last week. But the reality is they're still a very dominant and very strong international side. So if you're saying that they're under pressure, I mean, what do you expect these guys to do?
Yeah, well, maybe just to end off on the France conversation then. The French Sevens team won their first series since 2005. That's 19 years ago, Ronnie, with DuPont at the forefront. So is that really what the French team is missing? Maybe this is proof of it.
Maybe.
Then great to see Luit Jaga. I just had to put this in here. He scored two tries this weekend. Great to see that he's recovered from his cardio problems and, you know, continuing his try-scoring spree. He's scored, I think, six tries so far in the Japanese league. So well done to Big Luit. Hoping to see him in the box setup again this year for sure.
Well, we're absolutely very blessed with Lox and always been a fan of old Luit. He's been a little bit unfortunate because his competition is so, I mean, what's the word? This competition's bigger than him. And that's saying a lot. He's huge.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then Ronnie Storm is heading over to England for a bit of a strange friendly this weekend. They're going to play a Northampton Saints there at Franklin's Gardens. You know, complaining a lot about travel, this seems like an unnecessary fixture, but maybe they just want to reacclimatize to the European conditions before the Heineken Cup kicks off again.
It's very smart to do if you're prioritizing that tournament, by all means, go for it. But yeah, I agree with you. If you're complaining about travel and doing this, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, for sure. And then just a quick passing remark, the Springboks will be in camp or are in camp from Tuesday this week already. Rassie and the coaching team got together on Monday. They're going to be doing a bunch of boardroom sessions and planning sessions, getting ready for the season. This is the first of three of these camps. So great to see that the boys are starting to get ready for a big season ahead.
Yeah, I'm excited though. And test matches around the corner. I'm a little bit sad that I'm not in country, but so be it.
Yeah, it's going to be unfortunate, Ronnie, but you're going to watch it on the TV and then WhatsApp me all the shit that I don't see while I'm in the stadium drinking the beer.
No, I'm not giving you anything you can enjoy while you're.
And then, Ronnie, May Fokchor moment of the week. This one I debated because I really wanted to give it to Maan Nanu this week with his hit in the major.
Unbelievable.
41-year-old Maan Nanu, absolutely smoking, guys, still.
And the fact that
back in the day.
that Matt Kitto has also now come out and playing again in the MLR.
Yeah, very, very impressive. But this one has to go to Kanan Moody for his try down the touchline against the Stormers. Turnover ball, chip kick forward. I swear that ball was going out and Moody whispered sweet nothings to it and kept it in field because it bounced perfectly like they used to for Habana and into his hands, down for the try. So well done, Kanan, 21-year-old, absolutely.
So good.
Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. My fuck, John. That was luck.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.